Billy Porter made fierce story by becoming the first openly gay black man to win an Emmy for Outstanding Lead Actor in a Drama Series for playing the fabulous ballroom MC, pray tell, in FX's Pose.
Earlier in the evening, when RuPaul and her gal pals won their 14th Emmy for RuPaul's Drag Race as the show most likely to start shit up on the internet, the camera cut to a side view of Billy Porter and his eyeball, leaving some folks to wonder if there was any tea to be spilled over Mama Ru and Pray Tell's relationship. Although it's probably much ado about side-eye, the public interest does underscore a desire to see more trans inclusion on television, especially on shows like RuPaul's Drag Race.
And why isn't anyone talking about how Billy Porter's hat was robbed of its own award for Best Hat at any awards ceremony? Today, comedian Karma Nybarger joins us to jump into the melee over Billy Porter's side-eye and RuPaul's dismissal of diversity at the Emmy Awards.
Plus, Angelica Ross says she had to shut down her Twitter account over negative backlash on the GLAAD LGBTQ presidential forum.
Olympic hunk Gus Kentworthy flexes his acting muscles on American Horror Story.
And happy Bisexual Awareness Week.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun. Girl! If you hear that sound, it's the hot tea police pulling you over, ready to issue you a citation.
It's the girl siren.
It's the girl siren, girl. The girl ambulance. It's trying to pull you over. Girl!
That's how it is in Europe, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Girl, yeah.
Girl. Because the Emmys came and went, and fierce story was made as Billy Porter became the first openly gay black man to win a Best Actor for a Dramatic Series. And Billy Porter stood on the stage and said, like RuPaul, everybody say love.
Mm-hmm.
Love.
You know, reference. But before that happened, RuPaul won his 14th Emmy Award and the first Emmy Award for Best Reality Competition Program for RuPaul's Drag Race. And everyone's applauding. And then they cut to Billy Porter, who's like, is my lunch in here yet? I'm sorry. And America got to see that, and America said, what's the tea between Billy Porter and RuPaul? And the girl ambulance, the girl police, the fashion police came over and started issuing tickets. Join us today is comedian Karma Nybarger, friend to man and beast. And to celebrate Bisexual Awareness Week, because one time in college she made out with a girl.
Sure.
Got close.
Billy Porter stood on stage during the press conference, which they asked people, and said, what's the tea? What's going on between you and RuPaul? And he's like, girl! There is no tea. I do not live in bittersweet. There is nothing but love in my... He actually does not sound like Eartha Kitt, but there's nothing but love in my heart. He said, they can catch me and say that my look was a side eye, but RuPaul is a friend of mine. I am so proud of him. I stand on his shoulders. I stand on his shoulders. I'm younger and thinner and prettier than you. He's doing it. He paved the way for me. So there's never a side eye about that.
Mm.
Notice that. He's also aging RuPaul.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying, like, I'm much younger than RuPaul. Mm-hmm. I think Billy Porter, what old is
I
Billy?
I think Billy Porter is probably 4 or 5 years younger than RuPaul.
Yeah,
I'm guessing.
They seem like they're the same age.
Ru's like 56 or 57, I think, at this point.
Yeah, RuPaul's only 7 years older than Billy Porter. Mm-hmm. You know?
They're fine. They're cohorts.
But he hit the scene beforehand, for sure.
Yeah.
RuPaul was owning the scene when Billy Porter was, you know,
And would we, would we have a fantastic show like Pose if it weren't for RuPaul's Drag Race?
Absolutely not.
Or do we owe Pose more to the TV show Glee? No, who knows?
There's always been an animosity for people who are familiar with the scene and the culture and the history between club entertainers and house entertainers in New York City.
The ball scene,
the ballroom scene, and the club scene. And it has stemming from racial injustice. The house scene was started famously by the LaBeija house, mm-hmm. Crystal LaBeija, mm-hmm. in the documentary Queen. The Queen documented her losing a pageant because of her race. Mm. They were like, don't show your color. She's like, I'm going to show my color. And she was so mad and she left and started the house scene, and the rest is herstory. And that's, you know, has always been there. And in terms of like marginalized people, in terms of artists, there's always been a schism between people who have formalized training and people who are do-it-yourselfers. So the performance artists versus the actors who've been gone to, you know, studied Shakespeare and gone to Juilliard, the musicians who are, you know, learned to play their instruments by themselves versus people who've gone to conservatory. Mm-hmm. There's always been a schism between that. And I think, you know, in some ways, RuPaul's what people may have been reading into RuPaul and Billy Porter is tapping into that. And certainly there is plenty of racism in wanting to see mm-hmm. two successful gay men of color fight with each other. Mm-hmm. They're like, it's like a cat fight.
Yeah, well, also just say cat fight.
When you look at like the show like Pose, which is very trans inclusive, telling trans storylines, hiring trans actors, trans writers, directors, that kind of stuff. And then you look at a show like RuPaul's Drag Race, and yes, they have had trans drag queens on the show. They haven't had ones that in their regular, normal, everyday life present as female. And so a lot of people are taking RuPaul to task for transphobia. And so then they see somebody like Billy Porter who's celebrating trans lives, and they see like somebody like RuPaul who's just like, this is not part of our show, being exclusionary. They want to see that fight, you know, they mm-hmm. want to see something happen between the two of them.
Yeah, and certainly writers for the show, actors in Pose have approached RuPaul most recently at the Met Gala and say, hey, RuPaul, let's have some trans representation on the show. Come on. And RuPaul's like, you know, he answers what a lot of Midwestern people like to say. I'll think about it.
We'll see what we can do.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
And
interesting.
I think RuPaul's Drag Race inevitably will diversify the way that other reality TV shows mm-hmm. with drag contestants mm-hmm. like Dragula mm-hmm. and Camp Wanakiki have yeah. started to do in their recent seasons. And for the better for it, you know, especially Hollow Eve and the drag king who's
Landon Sider
are really, really wonderful on Dragula and so you know, it's great to see that kind of representation and that participation, that element in these kind of shows.
And I believe that RuPaul's Drag Race will have a trans person who's probably maybe has some breasts or something one of these days, and RuPaul will say, well, I feel like America now is finally ready to accept it. It's going to put the onus on us, because that was, you know, there was a criticism, you know, I've loved all, you know, RuPaul's Drag Race from the beginning, but after season 3, Raja won, I thought she was fantastic queen, great looks and stuff like that, but we're also, okay, this is the third look queen, so mm-hmm. we're kind of like, it's like, we're kind of like over it in some ways. And then Sharon Needles came along, and Sharon Needles kind of just was like just bizarre and crazy and wild, which was, you know, unexpected for that show. And she was just kind of like, well, I feel like America was finally ready for somebody like Sharon Needles. They're just like, you know, don't speak for us in that sense. We were ready for Sharon
long before
this, you know, for season 1, we were ready for that. And, you know, by season 8, I think we were like not ready for that anymore.
Well, part of it is I think with, you know, marginalized people and culture and mainstream and all this stuff, that the Emmys, no one's really taken very seriously because it has a history of excluding queer people and people of color. And so it's nice to see the Emmys now acknowledging really people who have long overdue Billy Porter and RuPaul. And mm-hmm. and certainly there's plenty of great talent out there that, you know, the shows don't get produced, or if they're on the air, they don't get acknowledged. Mm-hmm. And you know, the Emmys is still a celebration of corporate entertainment. It is not you know, for example, giving awards for YouTube videos or anything like that. Because otherwise, cooking with drag queens would be filthy.
Well, and they say, like, these Emmys is the queerest ever. You know, you have Billy Porter winning, you have RuPaul winning, Ben Whishaw won for his TV show that he did about the gay scandal in the UK. And he actually apologized because he's saying, like, I'm sorry, I'm hungover for this speech.
That's
but then also,
awesome.
Too, Patricia Arquette got up there and she'd won. And then she said, you know, I, you know, thank you. And speaking on behalf of her sibling, Alexis Arquette, saying, you know, I have a sibling who's trans.
Alexis Arquette.
I think about them every day. And, you know, we have to do better. We have to hire trans people for these jobs, to get them employment, that kind of stuff. And I wonder if she was maybe was aware of the controversy around RuPaul's Drag Race and saying that to them. And I'm also very happy to hear that, you know, they referred to Alexis as she, because at the time of their death, one of the brothers referred to Alexis as a him. And people were like, wait a second, isn't he trans? Isn't she trans? And he's just like, well, towards the end of her life or his life, he described himself as gender chaotic. So some days he was female, some days he was male. So we were kind of confused and we're like, is that just wishful thinking? I don't know. But then I also know some people that had known Alexis for a long time and they're like, he is not trans. You know, he does drag. He says it's trans, but he's definitely not trans. And so, but I'm like, we'll let them speak for themselves. And I think if, you know, it's if Patricia is out there saying this is my sister, then, you know, why don't we respect that?
Yeah.
And Billy Porter's hat won an Emmy for best hat in awards ceremony.
You know,
that hat was everything.
He's like, Aretha, check. I'm coming for your hatness.
And so we're making a masked image of Billy Porter's hat that you can Photoshop on to yourself.
Ooh.
Ooh. And we'll be there on feastoffun.com. You know, but the another thing, too, is that when RuPaul's standing there on stage receiving an award, you do look at that, the people who are working on RuPaul's Drag Race, and it is pretty monochromatic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I noticed that, too. I was like, it surprised me.
Well, and they were questioned about it afterwards. A reporter had asked, like, how important do you think diversity is? You know, because I'm, like, looking at your crew up here, and it's pretty, you know. He's just like, well, I've seen a lot. I'm seeing young people. I'm seeing older people. I'm seeing bald person. I'm seeing this person. You know what I mean? But it was like all pretty much men, and they all kind of looked shocked. Now, there was a Latina up there, and I guess recently they did have a producer who was an African-American woman, and she recently died, and otherwise she would have been up there. But, you know, I think that when you're doing artistic endeavors like that and you don't put some kind of emphasis on diversity, you're cheating yourself, you're cheating your audience, and you're cheating the people out of a job.
Mm-hmm. If you don't treat yourself, you cheat yourself. Mm-hmm.
So true.
And diversity is full of flavor. Savor it. Enjoy it. And part of it is, I think, you know, with RuPaul's Drag Race, it's just a reflection of television production in Los Angeles. And it does strike me as odd that there's this kind of code of complacency, or if you criticize or if you raise an eyebrow at RuPaul or the way Hollywood works, that somehow you're not supporting these somewhat progressive voices. And just because you live in Los Angeles does not make you any more moral or ethical than anybody who works in entertainment anywhere else. And, you know, we have a group forum that's private for the listeners of the show, for the people who are guests of the show or want to be guests of the shows, or our friends. And it's on Facebook.
Yeah. Feast of Fun, friend of the show.
Yeah. And I posted on there I posted the video and I said, is there any tea between RuPaul and Billy Porter, the way everybody's talking about right now? And I did a screenshot of it, you know, and people were just like, stop calling for RuPaul and Billy Porter, Fausto. Stop trying to stir shit up just so you can get some clicks and page views and make money. And I'm like, what world do you live in where running anything on Facebook makes money? It makes money for Facebook. Don't make money for me.
No.
It's crazy.
And, you know, we create this forum as a private space for people to talk about shit, to iron shit out, to vocalize.
And people had been talking about it. Now, I looked at the video and all I saw was just, Billy Porter just kind of being intent. They're like, he's giving him side eye. I'm like, you have a picture of him from his side. So you're seeing the side of his eye and you're calling it side eye. It's not fair. Now, granted, the media does have a bias and they probably do want to pit these two people against each other. But you know what? It's about they're both artists and they both have shows.
And maybe Billy Porter's mad because they made him take his hat off.
Probably.
You know,
I would be mad if I had to take my hat off and that was my hat.
Well, somebody behind you at needs to see, too. You can't just
They can look at my hat.
If I went to the Emmys or the Grammys or the Oscars or the Tonys, which Billy Porter has now three, he's missing an Oscar and he's an EGOT.
Ooh, EGOT.
But if I had to sit behind Billy Porter's hat, I'd be happy.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be like,
look at that hat.
I'd be trying to snatch that thing
off.
Let
me wear it for a little while.
Pass the hat.
That hat was everything. People were saying, I was like, oh, it's a good thing that Billy Porter, clarified that because all the Rue girls would have been coming after Billy Porter. I'm like, you don't know the Rue girls, do you? Because let me tell you, you know who hates RuPaul even more? Is the Rue girls. They're like, I got eliminated early. I should have been in the top three.
I should have been on All Stars. I bought clothes for All Stars.
RuPaul's Drag Con, more like RuPaul's dragging money and conning you out of money, So, Billy Porter doesn't have to sweat it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think, Billy Porter's handling it well. I mean, certainly like anytime we've ever won an award, not of that magnitude, but when we won our first People's Choice Podcast Award back in what year was that?
2006.
Ooh. Damn, that was a while ago. Mm-hmm. And I remember being like, ooh, this is my day. This is time to celebrate my husband and I and our team. We won. This is a big moment. And suck it, haters.
Yeah.
Remember Kathy Griffin be like,
yeah,
suck it, hate, suck it, Jesus or something. She said,
suck it, somebody.
I think she said Jesus had nothing to do with this award. Mm-hmm. Probably. In fact, Jesus could suck it.
That sounds right.
And I'm just like, part of it is when you're winning these awards, you do want to be just like, stick it into people who have not been,
Well, that's the other thing, though, too, is like, when Billy was talking about this, what's the beef with you and RuPaul? Because he was asked about it. And he was just like, I don't live in bittersweet, everything like that. This is his time to celebrate. Even if he had a beef with RuPaul, is this the place to air it? Is this the place for it to happen? It's like, this is the day I won. I have this award, and that's what I'm up here celebrating. Everything else is, secondary, tertiary. What comes after tertiary?
Quaternary.
Quaternary.
Yeah. Good job. Guys.
It's at the bottom of the list. Uh-huh. And then also too is like if you say something like that, if you say, "Well, I think blah 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 blah," then you're going to end up talking about that for the next year instead of like the things you want to talk about, your career, your goals, the thing that you are focusing on yourself. If you're focusing on the people you don't like, you're screwed.
Yeah,
because I think about like early podcasts that basically spent their whole time criticizing us. They're not really around anymore.
No,
they're gone.
I don't know them.
They're gone.
They're honey. I would what is it? Dominique Jackson, who plays Elektra in Pose, is like, I will take your ashes, put them in my hand, and blow them into the winds of history. But I gotta tell you, it's, queer people love a good fight. And there is people on the internet saying like, oh, Billy knows transphobic trash when he sees it, And just for the record, like anything that happens in private groups that we have stay there. We share things and ideas there to sort of like see to get the temperature. To make ourselves accountable, to let people say, I'm really mad at what you said there, or to give us feedback without repercussion, So you can go there and be like, I want to guide you in a better direction. I want you to think about this differently. And some other people were going, was like, you need to delete this post and delete the whole group. And I'm like, first of all, you're not a listener of this podcast. You have never donated to any of our Kickstarters. You have never commented on any of the shows. You have never commented on any of the content except this. And now you want us to take it down because it somehow makes you question, makes you want to examine your own preconceptions of what RuPaul's Drag Race is or isn't. And I'm going to tell you, again, talk to any Ru girl. They'll be the first ones to steer you in the right direction of what RuPaul's Drag Race is doing and isn't doing. Just saying there.
It's good to some. Mm-hmm. It's not good to others. But, you know, life is what you make it, really.
And mm-hmm. it's just a TV show. Mm-hmm. If you don't like mm-hmm. it, change the channel, honey. Mm-hmm. It's like, this is not about healthcare equality. This is not about, you know, this is not about civil rights. This is a goddamn TV show, you know. Mm-hmm. And we do need diversity and representation. But if you think your ability to survive and exist depends on your ability to get on RuPaul's Drag Race, that is a fucked up dream to have. Because not everybody can be on RuPaul's Drag Race.
I mean, there's been 140 of them.
Yeah. I lost count.
Out of tens, if not hundreds billion, of thousands of drag queens.
110,000.
There's a new drag queen coming every day. There's a new one born. And I love it. I think it's great, but it's also like, how many entertainers do we need?
Yeah. That's kind of how
well,
I feel.
Well, you kind of come I'm up like, in the that's Chicago, how I the Chicago feel. Comedy scene,
yeah.
right? And it's always...
And I'll see like a new wave of like 21-year-olds. So I'm like, oh, no. We don't need to hear about your thoughts on your dick.
I want to hear about a 21-year-old dick.
It's not the comedy dick. It's like smegma dick. Yeah. It's not good dick.
It's funny dick.
It's
not funny dick.
It's like
wasn't that your job in some ways as a stateswoman of comedy to guide the young generation into wisdom into sunnier pastures.
Yeah, basically, I was just trying to shut down the smelly dick jokes because I'm like, just clean it. You just clean it. I don't get the joke. Just clean it, and then women will suck it or men will suck it. It will get sucked.
Is that really like a common thing? Like all these guys are making jokes about how their dicks smell.
Yeah, like they smell bad and their balls smell bad, and I'm like,
what do they think they have vaginas down there?
Yeah, right. I know. I'm like, I gotta clean my twat. You clean your dick.
What do you clean? What do you mean by like, you take a shower and you soap?
Yeah.
Well, you don't use soap inside.
Not
though.
Inside no. the vulva.
Yeah, just around it.
Yeah, around it. No. You'll get a yeast infection if you do that.
Just spread open in the bathtub or no?
I don't.
No.
I know some women who masturbate with a shower head and then let the
water get in there. Yeah.
Well, that's just mainly on the clip.
Yeah, my friends do. They've recommended it to me several times. I've tried and it's just like too... It's just not how I get off.
It's too wet.
It's too
wet. It's not personal.
No well, it is Bisexual Awareness Week.
Yeah.
Where we celebrate people who are want to name and claim their desire for people of either gender or pansexual awareness, which is people who gender identity is irrelevant.
Well, there's some people who identify as bisexual because they're attracted to people of their own gender, but then they're also attracted to people of a different gender. So that might be non-binary. It might be
that would be a pansexual person, right?
Yeah, but they also they say that they're bisexual because they don't believe in the binary of like there's only a man and only a woman.
That's what would be a pansexual. Hence the word pan.
But there's people that say that like they're bisexual because they're attracted to their own gender and another gender.
It's only two genders. And hence the term bi.
They're attracted to the people of their own gender and to people of a different
something
gender.
Something else.
So that person might be, you know, trans feminine, might be mass feminine. Mm-hmm. And then you know what I mean? I don't know. That's how
what
they're
some
thinking.
People told
they
don't, you.
They want to be identified as bisexual, but they don't want to be limited.
Sure.
And be like, you know what I mean?
Well, that's why the term pansexual exists.
Yeah, but they don't. They want to.
Don't give me your labels. But if I did use the term bisexual, I want you to acknowledge it. But right now, I'm not using it. But when I do, I want you to recognize it and celebrate it.
Yeah,
that's right.
Is that right? And so, basically, you know, the bisexual flag is the transsexual flag, but opposite.
Oh.
Not really.
But not.
It kind of is there because it's a pink stripe and a blue stripe and then a purple stripe in the middle.
All right.
Which kind of, like, if you didn't know what the flags look like, you'd be like, well, I guess that could be trans, you know? Could be anything.
Looks like it's all inclusive.
It's all good, baby. Yeah. We love you all. You can be whoever you want to be.
Smooch is for everyone.
Yeah, you can be Pam.
There's no girl alarm for that.
Now, I mean, do you guys, to come, you know, for full disclosure, Mark, do you identify as bisexual or not?
In some instances, yes, because I've hooked up with girls before, and I'm not limiting that. I probably, I would say, be more pansexual, but I'm not, like, typically actively looking for that. But, like, let's say if I was in a certain kind of situation, maybe this guy's hot, he's got a girlfriend, he's just like, hey, let's do a three-way, that kind of thing, and then, you know, that kind of thing. Now, or maybe if I met a couple,
Karma got excited.
You know what I mean? I know.
It's like, it depends on what the scene is and how I'm feeling it out or what's going on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm about, when it comes to women's bodies, I'm about as familiar with them as my dog is with a typewriter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'd be looking like that going,
Yeah, just as asleep.
Can I lick it? Can I type on it? What do I do with this? Oh, well, I'm just going to sleep.
Is it food?
What is this?
Is it going to take me for a walk?
But I'm familiar with, you know, the goddess and goddess culture. You know that the Jesus fish is a pagan symbol for the woman's vagina.
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
The Jesus fish is a vagina symbol.
Yeah.
On its side.
Yeah, I see it. As soon as you said it, I'm like, oh, yeah, it makes total sense.
So once again, Christians steal something good and pervert it.
And then make it horrible.
And it's like to limit people's, you know, freedom, to limit women's autonomy over their bodies and... Girl.
I know. I just watched this documentary last night called Hail Satan.
Oh.
On Hulu. It's I like that. Great. It's
about Satanists.
Yeah, it's about Satanists in like Oklahoma or Arkansas or something and their struggle to be recognized. And
Satanists are doing the Lord's work. They really are.
They're the most Christian.
And some ways they're funny because it's like, they're like, well, you want to have religious this in your school? Well, how about us too? And then they're like, oh, you know what? Never mind. And we're like, thank you.
Yeah, I know. Keep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what'd that have to do with anything? I don't know. I don't know.
Satanists. I don't know. Yesterday, Satan.
Yeah. Satan is a friend of mine. Satan is a friend of... It's much more better than saying Jesus is a friend of mine. I went to a very dearly departed friend of mine's memorial service. And he grew up Catholic. He was a very radical pagan. And for some reason, they held it at a Lutheran church because it was a good venue for it. And, you know,
is that where they do their dancing? Is that why
it may have been? I'm not sure. And so we're doing what's called a heart circle so that every single person at the memorial service got like 2 or 3 minutes to talk about their memories of my friend, who was this amazing artist, you know, and he really touched and impacted so many people's lives. In fact, this podcast really owes a lot to Penny, my friend who passed away. Influence and guidance and mentorship on me in my early days here in Chicago. And so anyways, we're having a fantastic time, you know, in remembering our friend. You know, I think the best memorial services are a celebration of people's lives. It's an ability for people who have lost touch to reconcile their differences, to come together in memory of them. And do this in memory of me, right? And so at the end of the memorial service that went like 4.5 hours long or something, the minister of the Lutheran church is like locking up and, you know.
Get out.
You know, and I said, wait, there's more Jesus I need to get. And there were Jesus. And this woman turns around and says, oh, well, we're having a service tomorrow at 10 a.m. And I'm like, get real, lady. Mm-hmm. I wake it up at 10 in the crack of dawn on a Sunday to listen to your blog.
What I liked about it too is I didn't get a chance to, and I did know Penny, but unfortunately I had to work. But I liked how they had the rules for the heart circle like listed on the thing, which I thought was very sweet.
The program.
And, you know, the thing is you want to give people an opportunity to speak, but you give them like a little something to hold on to, like a speaking stick so that you know who's the one that's talking.
Who's the boss?
And you're supposed to talk about something, but like refrain from dialogue. So don't ask questions of people when they're done speaking and that kind of stuff. I mean, you can, but typically you don't. You just It's an exercise in listening. You just listen to what the person says, and the next person goes, and then they speak too.
And you know, I would have liked to seen the GLAAD LGBTQ presidential summit done more as a heart circle. Oh. Would have been better, you know. Just yeah. give mm-hmm. have all the candidates that could be there. Mm. Sit in a circle and just pass the stocking stick twice or three times around until they all got to say what they wanted to say.
I have a journalist friend who's a respected journalist who described the presidential LGBT forum as how did he say it? Spectacularly amateur, refreshingly amateurish, because it just seemed like they had just kind of cobbled it together. We're like, oh, what do we do next? And how does this happen now? And everybody that was in charge of it, love you, Zach Stafford, love you, Angelica Ross, but you all seem like deer in the headlights.
They were caught off guard.
Yeah, I don't know what was going on, but they were just like, I can't, what's happening?
And, you know, Zach Stafford was doing his best RuPaul imitation with that suit, you know, wearing, I'm like, but a necktie, not rocking a necktie when you have a suit is let the professionals do that one.
Yeah.
With RuPaul, you know, it would have been cute if he wore a necktie and something. If you're going to not wear a necktie, have a little flamboyance, have a little extravagance.
I was a little surprised that Pete Buttigieg, when he came out there, like, they didn't ask him about him talking about how he doesn't read LGBT media, which I thought was really interesting, especially coming from a queer person who supposedly has a handle on, you know, what queer people need in their life. Now, he's since kind of backtracked and said, oh, I was just feeling kind of grumpy that day when I made that comment. A little grumpy. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. Who's your husband's grumpy? Dick isn't big enough for you that day. And then Angelica Ross has since, because she disparaged Bernie for not showing up at this LGBT forum, and he's not showing up at a different one, and saying, that tells me all I really need to know about a candidate. And so some people came after her on Twitter. Also, some Trump people came after her on Twitter. So she's just like, time for me to go away from Twitter for a while and just let my staff take care of it.
Where's Candy's hammer when you need it?
You know, if you can dole it out, give it back. But, you know, and I think a lot of people, I'm hearing a lot of people that are queer expressing dissatisfaction that Bernie didn't show up. But, you know, he had already made plans and had committed to other things before these things were even came up. And he may have even looked at this and be like, this is sponsored by GLAAD. Who's GLAAD? Get the fuck out of here. Because, you know, GLAAD's just basically a corporate mouthpiece at this point in time.
Yeah. Remember, folks, for people who've been longtime listeners, we had he was the president of GLAAD,
yeah,
on the podcast, bragging about how the T-Mobile AT&T merger was going to be good for LGBTQ people. And I'm like,
right after they got like a $25,000 donation from AT&T.
And I was like, get bitch, real, please. Honey. And I said to him, I was like, look, if you're so easily bribed, I'll buy you an iPhone to make you change your position again.
And he's like, sold. He stepped down shortly there.
With Apple Care. Mm-hmm. Ooh, big spender. Yeah, I was like, back in the day, it was an iPhone 6 Plus.
But what did we learn from the LGBT, watching them speak at the LGBT forum? Did we
not
learn
a damn
anything about
thing.
Them?
We just, I think that they were, you know, the people who are asking the questions to Joe Biden seemed a bit more challenging. It was interesting to see Elizabeth Warren leading the visibility aspect of just being able to say the words lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans, queer, because everybody else was really stuck on the phrase LGBTQ. It just sounded like weird. It sounded like Dave Chappelle wrote your material for you. The alphabet people. I'm like, you know, a little diversity in the way you express the term sexual and gender nonconformist is a good thing to have. Mm-hmm. And you want to have a very clear, very wide language. And I think I would have loved to, I gotta tell you, I would have personally loved to be able to interview Joe Biden.
Really?
Oh my God. I'll be like, today we're going to be ending your political career. Sir, have a seat.
Yeah.
So Joe.
Don't touch me, Joe.
Don't kiss me. You know, there, I mean, part of it is like, are we not a demographic that is to be reckoned with? Do you not want our vote? Are you not are you not entertained? You know, sell it.
Well, what do you make of Bernie?
If you're not a journalist, mm-hmm. you're a telemarketer. That's what right. these guys are doing. They're just like an infomercial there for these candidates, and they're not really like shaking the bars. I want to see Pete Buttigieg's lips tremble a little bit.
Ooh.
You know, I want to see him quake and shiver.
Ooh.
Anticipation.
And why was anybody not dressed as Dr. Frankenfurter? You know what I'm saying? But this is a room full of squares.
Respectable politics.
I was like, I'm sorry, the queer was not represented at a thing. It's like, and that yellow dress on that woman, it was like, what a basic look. You know, we're talking about the fashion because the fashion was a reflection of the
blandness,
the pedestrian, thank you. Mm-hmm. Pedestrian approach to talking about politics. There was no juice. There was no Billy Porter side eye. Where was Billy Porter?
There was no even side eye during that whole thing.
There was nothing. There was nothing. There was no meat. Mm-hmm. I was invited to a buffet and all I got was an olive.
And I think I wonder if that's probably part of the reason why Bernie didn't show up either, because he had made other plans to do stuff. And he was just like, this is not going to be anything worth participating in. And, you know, Bernie has a really, really strong record for standing up for LGBTQ rights, you know?
The record speaks for itself. Right. Not whether you're willing to show up for some milquetoast, you know, centrist, you know, very conservative, corporate, aligned, ineffective, non-grassroots lobbying group as GLAAD is. Mm. GLAAD is there to be a mouthpiece for corporate entertainment channels and their intersection with LGBTQ people. They're not there to support us, for example, or you who are blogging out there. They're not there to respect privacy, for example. They're not there to advocate for universal healthcare. They're not there to talk about any of the issues that are really urgent and desperately needed for queer people. What is it, the thing that was most important for them? They're more interested in stopping conversion therapy than they're talking about universal healthcare.
That's GLAAD?
That's what forum was sort of like centering on. And I'm just like, you know, that's an important issue. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important to talk about and stop. Mm-hmm. But how?
It doesn't stop there. And
it's scratching the surface.
For queer people, the health issue is a huge one because there's a huge disparity between LGBTQ health and the straight world health. You know, we suffer a lot more from different things, from, you know, economic poverty, and to be able to have affordable health care for queer people would raise them up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, you know, candy.
Mm-hmm. Break out that hammer.
Break out the hammer.
Mm-hmm.
Tastes like candy. I can feel it when you walk. Even when you talk, it takes over me. You're so dandy.
So there's a woman in Louisiana. She goes to see this camel at this side, like this little, you know, animal menagerie. And her dog is off leash and gets into the kennel or whatever with the camel. So she crawls under to retrieve her dog. Somehow she pisses off the camel. The camel's 600 pounds and then it sits on her. And so you know how she decides to get the camel off?
She got him off.
She bit his nuts.
Ah!
I was thinking she was going to give the camel a hand job or something.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. Whoa, she went for the nuts.
You got to be careful because, you know, if you fuck with an animal's genitals, they'll bite you back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or they might like it.
Well, I think camels would be like, more.
That's the kink I've been looking for.
Yeah.
A little cock and ball camel torture.
Ooh. There's an extra hump there for you. Those are called dromedaries. Right? What is it that when it has two humps?
Dromedaries.
Mm-hmm. And a camel's one?
Yes.
But they're basically the same thing.
They're basically the same thing. And then there's llamas are also cameloids.
Uh-huh.
Alpacas.
Yep.
And vicuñas.
I don't know those. What
damn,
are those?
You're like,
I know my camel.
You're like zoo books over here.
And I want to say there might be one more that I'm kind of, that's more rare. But it's like the other ones are up in the Andes. So like the vicuñas, they make like nice fabric from it. Mm-hmm. And llamas and alpacas. I think alpaca is nicer than llama. But Vicuña is the one that's really nice. Ooh. And I believe there's another one that might start with an A or something like that. But yeah, there's the one hump. And then the two hump ones, I think, are from like a more mountainous regions, mm-hmm. and they have more hair too.
Okay. My humps, my camel lumps. Yeah. You could do like a Middle Eastern version of you know Fergie's song, Lady Lumps.
Yeah,
and I think
camel humps.
And I think
camel
that there was some kind of cameloid here in North America in prehistoric times, but I think it died out.
Oh,
I know.
Bummer.
I know.
That's terrible. there's a new study, according to studies, right? The census is all hot, is in the news. Unmarried partners are more diverse now than they were 20 years ago.
What's that mean?
Yeah, what does that
mean? So more people are living together in love. Not necessarily getting married, and they're more racially diverse.
Okay.
One tribe, one love, many dreams. Oh. One team, many dreams. Is
they
why I say
get
people.
Married and get a tax break.
Well, the people, they're saying that the number of married partners living together in the United States has tripled in two decades from 6 million to 17 million.
Mm. Dang.
Making up almost 10% of the adult population.
Everybody got married.
They're not getting married.
They're not
cohabitating.
Oh, I thought you said that the
unmarried.
Yeah, you don't need to get married anymore. You
and if you're statistically, if you're a person of a mixed race relationship, mm-hmm. you are what?
Queer, statistically speaking. Mm-hmm. Like when I was a little kid, like people shacking up together was still like a big deal. Mm-hmm. They're like, they're living in sin.
Yeah.
You know, people would like a huge deal. I remember a family friend, like, they're not married. They're like, oh my God.
And if your age is 18 to 34, it's quite a bit. Mm. It's like almost 60% of people. Yeah, so it's quite a lot. Like people are, you know, they're having to live together because there's less money.
I'm like, rents is so high.
The cost of living keeps going up, but the average income does not.
Yeah,
so it's tough.
One of my patients, he was getting all. I get these weird.
You work as a nurse.
Yeah, and I get these weird Republican patients who are like, but they don't work. Like they're on Social Security, and they'll be like, "Yeah, people at McDonald's are making $15 an hour. Can you believe it?" And I'm like, "That's fine. Mm-hmm. That good for
that's
them.
That's good. What's wrong with paying somebody?
I know. I'm like, that's fine.
You should to have a. To live on your own and stuff like that, you basically have to make like $25 an hour.
Right. So I'm like, why do you think that $15 an hour is this exorbitant rate? I'm like, they got to live, man. Mm-hmm. If you don't like it, don't go to McDonald's. I don't know what to tell you. Like, good for McDonald's for paying their employees.
Yeah. If you're not getting a 3% salary increase or wage increase, they're actually paying you less every year.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't go up with inflation.
Yeah,
and so a good company will provide that at the least to their employees. So,
and like how many billions of dollars is McDonald's making? Like they can afford to pay their employees.
Well, maybe the truth is that McDonald's isn't making as much money as they think they should be.
Ooh.
Because these days, it's you're not really, and you're a multinational corporation, you're mm-hmm. not really making money for anybody but your shareholders. Mm-hmm. And the shareholders, if they're not seeing a certain return on their investment, they're pulling out their money and going someplace else. And then you go, you know, out the RC Cola. What was it? What are the cola drinks that don't exist anymore? You know,
You go
the Diet Tab way. You become a pop culture Pan Am. You become the pop culture things of yesterday. Remember when McDonald's was a thing? Yeah. So, you know, it easy come, easy go. And a lot of these corporations, they look like they're swimming in money, but they could disappear tomorrow. And honestly, if some of these gas companies disappear tomorrow, that would be all right by me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Shout out to Greta. How old is Greta Thunberg? It was like 14, 13 years old.
15.
She's amazing.
Telling people, she's like, you need to wake the fuck up.
She's like, the world's burning, everybody.
It's on fire, honey.
I want to invite her to a party when she's old enough.
Yeah.
And she inspired millions of people to all over the world to protest for the climate.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
I saw kids marching in my neighborhood. Yes, it was yesterday.
Yeah.
I'm like, yo, go girl. Karma, last time you were on the podcast, you talked about buying your boyfriend black sheets.
Black sheets.
Because he was worried about having sex with you when you were on your period because he didn't want to get his sheets stained.
Uh-huh.
How are the black sheets working out for you?
We haven't used them yet.
Oh,
I think
did you cut them off
still,
or what?
No.
Did you stop having your period? It's okay if you did. You can tell us.
Well, I haven't had it this month, but I've taken two pregnancy tests. I'm good. I'm negative. I'm so happy. I'm just like, I'm not ready to have a teratoma. I'm just like not ready to give birth.
Well, you can do that
joke.
That's
what the pregnancy's for.
Yeah.
Well, you can do that joke in a stand-up.
You'll just be like, I'm going to have a baby and pop it out. You know, it's a school, basically.
Yeah.
Gestation.
No.
You know? But so you can stand on stage in your stand-up and be like, hey, guess what, guys? I'm pregnant. And the whole crowd goes, yeah! Until tomorrow. Everyone goes, ooh.
Ooh. Yeah, but no, we haven't used the black sheets yet. I don't know.
But he understood what they were for,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he did. He listened to the podcast.
He did.
All the free shows, though. He didn't go back to the archives.
I know. Yeah,
so
he listened.
What did he have to say?
You know, typical dude. He was just like, yeah, I thought he'd come up.
Did you guys talk more about period sex or anything?
No, not much more. Mm-hmm. I was like, well, I wanted to be proactive. And then if we want to have sex, then we can have sex.
So are you just like, next time you're on your period and he wants to have sex, you're just going to not tell him?
I'm going to be like, honey, get out the black sheets.
It's like some satanic ritual.
Just do what gay guys do. Put a towel down.
I know. I told him that
too. We call it the magic carpet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't even bother with a towel. I just put the sheets in the wash and throw some bleach in it.
Yeah, and I told him that.
That's the end of it. White sheets is what you want, so you can bleach it all out.
Yeah, I told him that, too. I was like, well, Fausto said white sheets is the answer.
Yeah, that's what hospitals do.
And you know what gets rid of blood from stains? Spit.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm.
Just spit on your menstrual state. Get that out. So what's the plan then? Just don't tell him you're on your period.
Yeah, I think I'll just surprise him.
Know, right?
No.
How would he know?
He'll find out when the blood comes out.
That's coming from you, dude.
I'll be like, you gotta get that checked out.
Well, since he listens to the podcast, is there anything you want to tell him right now?
I'm pregnant.
I love you.
Who's the dad?
I don't know. We gotta go on Maury.
Does Maury still have a show? Does he still?
Yes, he's still on. He's all my patients watch him.
Oh my god. For people that don't know, you're a nurse at a hospital for the for poor people.
For
basically.
Poor people,
basically.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
For the disenfranchised.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. And so they watch a lot of crappy TV.
Yeah, well, also, that's all our hospital gets, too. Like, it's a poor hospital, so we only get, like...
Judge Judy and Maury.
And the, what is it?
A lot
it?
Of judgment
the,
going on.
Yeah, and the ID channel, the investigation channel, where you get all these true crimes. So I'll get to go from one true crime to the next, from room to room to room.
Are you a fan of true crime?
You know what? I used to be, but these days I'm like, it's too scary out there.
Oh, we need to talk about Gus Kentworthy on American Horror Story.
American Horror Story.
He's playing a frustrated Olympic athlete who got kicked out of the Olympics for juicing.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Well, he says he didn't do anything. He feels like it was a setup. So, you know, it's him and a bunch of other people. They decide they're going to go work at the summer camp because they want to escape the 1984 Olympics.
Yeah.
So they decide they're going to go to this camp and work for the summer to get away from it. And so all of these people are there for like their own reasons. So we're all going to see them get murdered.
And Angelica Ross is there to criticize about Bernie Sanders. being an American Horror Story.
Well, so the thing that's funny is that's weird though is that, you know, the, it's going to reference all sorts of horror movies from the 80s, the slasher films, you know, the Jason, the Halloween, all those kinds of things. There's elements
Sleepaway
of that.
Camp, I'm sure.
And Sleepaway Camp has got like a trans kind of thing going on there. So I wonder if Angelica Ross is there for some kind of trans something or other.
Maybe.
So we'll see how it gets handled.
People are criticizing Gus Kentworthy's acting abilities, yeah, but I have to say he's no better or worse than Arnold Schwarzenegger in his start of his acting career. Mm-hmm. And as a muscle-bound hunk, I think he's delightful to look at in the screen. Mm-hmm. And just goes to show how out of shape all the other actors are. he's the real deal, you know?
Well, he's Olympian.
Yeah, well, you know, it's like, where's your personal trainer? Because he looks good.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, he's got one of those Hollywood big heads. He's like got a big old bobble doll.
Yeah.
And I was like, he's got to be 5 foot six. He's like a little person, you know?
Yeah, with a big head. Yeah.
And I Googled.
Strong jaw.
He's 5 foot ten. Oh, he's the same height as me. But his head is twice as big as mine.
I just look at that jaw and I said, you know what would look real good on that jaw? My dick slap. Get at me, Gus.
Yeah. Call me. I'm available. He's like, who? What? He was a judge on RuPaul's Drag Race.
Oh.
Mm.
And he went, they all look good. They all look good to me. He's like, that's the thing. It's like, you know, being a judge on these reality TV shows is sometimes, like, you know, it's a thankless job because if you're too supportive of all the contestants, then they're just like, you didn't say anything, man. And if you criticize somebody, they're like, you hate blah, blah, blah.
You just can't win.
Yeah. When I was a judge on one of those shows.
Yeah.
I was dressed up as a bear.
No.
For the first season of Camp Wanakiki.
Mm-hmm.
And I said all kinds of funny shit. And I think the editor hates me.
She does. For sure.
And I was just like, I said so many funny, clever things and you use none of them. And I even kept the sheet that I wrote down all the jokes that I wrote.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Yeah, and so I have the sheet. So if anybody wants to see them, they're on our Patreon. Patreon.com/feastoffun. Available where fine podcasts are found. I called Lady Bunny asking her. It's like, what'd you think about, you know, Angelica Ross and, you know, RuPaul and Billy Porter? And she's just like, I'm fine with it all. I was like, are you okay? And she's like, I just had an edible. I'll see you later. I was like, who are you and what have you done with Lady Bunny? She was so chill and relaxed. She's like, I have some food coming in. I'm going to eat it and then somebody's going to come and eat me out.
That's not how that works. She's the bottom.
So funny.
Chasten Booty Judge. Do you know who that is?
Yeah.
Who's Chasten Booty Judge?
He's that guy. He's running.
He looks like a melted ice cream.
Yeah, he does. He's cute, though.
The husband.
The husband of our next gay president. Who will not be the next gay president, but Pete Buttigieg.
Oh, I got him confused. He says
he's the fundraising secret weapon.
Oh, yeah? How so?
Chasten is as big of a draw for people who want to connect with... I can't say this in a serious tone. But they're saying that Chasten is just as important of people who want to meet Chasten as they want to meet Pete Buttigieg. And not just the high-dollar fundraisers. To the extent that Chasten frees up bandwidth for the candidate, that is a competitive advantage of having a same-sex couple running for president of the United States.
Wait, they're both running?
Well, he's his, you know, first husband. Because he's gay.
Yeah, he's married. No, I got that part.
Pete Buttigieg is a excellent judge of booties.
Ooh.
And he married Chasten, who is plump and firm.
Does he have a nice booty?
I don't know. According to Matt Brown, he says he looks like a melted ice cream cone.
I mean,
he's just a white guy, you know?
Yeah.
Like if we were on Scruff or Grindr or one of the dating apps, I'd be like, I thank you so much for your flattering comments.
Right.
That's what I would say.
Thank you for your interest.
Next.
Thank you for your generous offer. Unfortunately, at this point in time, I'll have to decline.
We do not have that kind of relationship.
Yeah.
But it was nice seeing RuPaul, like, smooching his husband, George, when he won the Emmy. And George is... Look, it was like, so that's what it looks like when they're having sex. Because, you know, everybody wants to know, what does it look like when RuPaul's having sex? Because you're thinking about
it. No, I never thought about it once.
And I got to tell you, RuPaul is a little dainty, you know, elf next to his man bear husband, George.
I think they're kind of almost the same height, are they not?
Oh, no. George is like,
he's 6'6 or 6'7. RuPaul's like 6'3 or something.
It's like when he just was massive next to RuPaul and he just gave him a big old kiss and on the cheeks and all that stuff. And I was like, damn. Is this Sean Cody or the Emmys?
Mm-hmm. It wouldn't be Sean Cody. It'd be more like Treasure Island. Come on.
Come on. I don't know any. I'm just throwing names of porn companies.
Karma, what's new in the comedy world here in Chicago?
I don't know.
You dropped out?
I dropped out.
Oh, because you're down to 11.
Yeah, I know.
Is that what it is?
Too busy getting dick. Who cares? You're like,
tell a joke or get fucked.
I know. I'm like, I'd rather get fucked.
So basically your life is like, hey guys, what's the difference between women and men with it? And she's like, shh, I'm getting dick right now.
I know, exactly.
You're interfering my orgasms.
I know. I'm like, I ain't got time for this little kid shit.
Excuse me, Karma. You're going to have to do our sign up sheet at 5 o'clock.
I know.
For the show at 10.
I know.
You're like, fuck this shit. I'm getting dick.
I know.
That's why I don't do open mics.
No, hell no.
I'm like, you want me to prepare 5 minutes of material and you want me to show up 4 hours earlier and watch a bunch of straight people get drunk and then watch them just ramble about how they don't get this, that, and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Talk about their smelly dicks.
Yeah, they're smelly.
I'm like, let me inspect it. I'll be the booty judge of that.
The booty judge. I'll be the dicky judge.
Oh, this is the other thing that I forgot to bring up. They asked RuPaul if he had seen Pose, and he's like, I ain't got time for that.
Wait, yeah. Really?
First of all, that was like he had seen one episode.
No, recently at the Met Gala, the woman who plays Angel went up to RuPaul and said, have you seen an episode? He said, I've seen one. And RuPaul got interviewed in Interview Magazine by Judge Judy. And he's like, I just watch all your episodes. I watch it all day long. I have plenty of time to watch your show. And I'm like, girl, listen, don't be bragging about how you don't have time to watch television in one space. And the other one, you're just like, because, you know, let's face it. A lot of those Judge Judy shows are reruns.
Yeah.
They're
not fresh.
Yeah.
They're old.
And it's all the same thing. It's just some, you know, old Yenta yelling at people for, you know, didn't pay their rent or something, you know?
Exactly. Somebody didn't pay rent. Somebody's dog bit somebody.
Does it have the word stupid on my forehead?
Yeah.
Next!
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Basically, that's the formula.
Don't pee on my shoes and tell me it's raining! Next!
You sound like you've seen some Judge Judy.
I know plenty of Judge Judys. And, you know, and part of it is just like, it's a great show. It's very entertaining. But there's other things to watch on television.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, shit, Netflix is a Dark Crystal, honey. Have you watched that thing?
No.
Oh, it's good.
Yeah?
Yeah. It has like the Olsen twins starring in it.
What?
I tuned in seriously thinking it was a documentary about like gays partying at Fire Island or something. I was like, ooh, the Dark Crystal. Let's see what this is about. And it's about a bunch of like elves and dragons and and Jim Henson's fever dreams come to life in a Game of Thrones world where magic is real. And I was like, all right, these Olsen twin looking hobgoblins are all right. You know, because they call the villains like the Skeksis.
Okay.
And the good guys are the Mystics.
Oh.
And their names are like Rue this, Rue that, Uru.
Skeks this, Skeks that.
Ur Skeks this, Ur Skeks. Yeah. And so I'm just like, they were saying the word Rue blank, like mm-hmm. RuPaul does RuPocalypse and stuff like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Way before RuPaul was.
That's crazy. Yeah,
they were that visionary. And I was like, and I'm really mad that they didn't use the expression, I'm Skeksis and I know it.
Maybe next season.
Yeah.
I got to tell people who haven't watched the movie, don't end well for the Hobgoblin Olsen twins.
Oh, no.
Nope.
Is there going to be a season two, do you think?
Yeah.
Has it been confirmed?
Yeah.
Has it been confirmed?
No. It's good, though. Listen, if you haven't watched it yet, it's a show.
Okay.
It's a bunch of puppets, hour long. It's girl, all trippy, you know?
It's a bunch of puppets.
I'm like, this is some fucked up crazy shit. You drop some yourself, get some edibles and watch that shit, and you're like, oh, man.
I don't know if you can follow it.
It's tough.
I had to watch it twice just to kind of get everything. Mm-hmm. I was like, this doesn't make sense.
And I don't know what's still happening. Haven't had a Popeye's fried chicken sandwich. Mm-hmm. I was driving the other day, running some errands, and I drove past a Popeye's. And I didn't go in there and eat one because I didn't want to eat it without my husband.
Aww.
I would have eaten it. I would have.
But they had it. They had it in stock.
Yeah. See, I'm not a fan of chicken sandwiches or fish sandwiches. Like, I don't want the bread interfering with my crust.
But they're saying it's so good. It cures, like, depression. Makes, you know, things happier.
I'm sure it does, but can I have it without the buns?
Sure.
Okay.
Here's a knife. Here's a fork.
There you go.
Go to town.
I don't know. Like, I don't...
Eat up, Karma.
Yeah, I'm like, fried chicken's already like a finger food. I don't need buns.
Fried chicken fingers is enough.
Remember, folks, if one Feast of Fun podcast is enough, you can fill up your plate by accessing our archives and listen to all our past shows from the past 15 years when other actors played us,
mm-hmm.
younger actors.
The first set.
Mm-hmm. The first set. You can go to feastoffun.com/plus and access thousands of legendary Feast of Fun podcasts with RuPaul and many, many, many amazing LGBT queer artists, bisexual artists, and enjoy. Fill up your plate with Feast of Fun. And Feast of Fun is, if you're started listening today, Feast of Fun is available anywhere fine podcasts are found. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, mm-hmm. Google Podcasts.
Stitcher and Bitcher.
And all you have to do is subscribe and hit the bell so you can be the first kid on the block to listen to the new shows.
Ding.
Ding it, baby.
I also want to remind folks, too, we've got a store. You can visit our store, feastoffun.com/store, and get a t-shirt today. Not shaving gives me more time for misbehaving. Still one of our most popular shirts.
That's right.
You look good in it.
And we have excellent customer service mm-hmm. skills.
We had somebody that wrote to us and said, I bought a t-shirt while I was drunk, and I just realized I couldn't afford it. Can I run my money? I'm like, of course we can. And also... Here's a number to get treatment.
Well, be careful, because if you do place an order mm-hmm. and, you know, some of these shirts are print on demand, we can't refund those. But if we are shipping them out, yes, we can. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But if we already bought the shirt for you and we're sending it out to you and you change your mind, I'm like, right now, what am I going to do with a, you know, triple X or a minus XS, you know? Not shaving gives me more time for misbehaving shirt. I guess I'll give it to my dog, Jesse.
Oh.
I want to thank you, Karma, for coming on the podcast.
Oh, thanks for having me.
I want to come out and see you perform your comedy soon. Do not give up on the comedy dream. You're too funny for that.
Okay, thanks.
Yes. Women deserve to be heard.
Yeah, I'll just have to... Stop coming in bed and start coming to the stage, yeah?
Why don't you just...
Or just get and fuck, get all the cute, take all the funnies out.
Yeah.
You get rid of the angst, right?
Yeah, right?
You do seem happier.
I feel happier.
Yeah, you're like, yeah.
I'm like, everything's great, you guys.
Nothing to complain about.
I know.
Don't worry. Things will change soon enough.
I know.
Then you'll be back on stage being like, my husband's running me crazy. Thanks for listening to the podcast, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.